There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome once again to Strange Planets, and we're going to Delaware. We're going to travel to Delaware on this episode and speak with a couple of paranormal investigators. They're with Phantom Detectives. Rick Warner is the lead investigator and tech manager. He's always had a lifelong interest in UFOs and the paranormal since he was a child, including his own experience spotting a UFO as well as several ghostly visitations. Rick has also earned several certificates as well over the past several years. He's become the director of investigations for Extraterrestrial Research Center, certified UFO field investigator, UFO researcher, and the U.S. ambassador to the Italian UFO Federation, FUI. Rick is looking to continue to improve his paranormal investigation skills and will be in charge of helping the team set up its equipment during investigations. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. Melissa Ferrazzano is the psychic medium of Phantom Detectives. She grew up in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. And since she was a very young child, Melissa has had experiences with spirits. This continued into her adult life. In addition, Melissa would also have premonitions about things that were yet to happen. And finally, embrace these abilities. Melissa began studying mediumship and psychic development. She studied various healing modalities such as shamanic healing, crystal healing, emotional freedom technique, tapping, remote viewing, past life regression therapy, and life coaching. And currently, Melissa holds certificates in psychic and advanced mediumship development and recently studied advanced mediumship under psychic medium Cindy Kaza from the show The Holzer Files. Melissa, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. My pleasure. So is Delaware a particularly, is that a hot spot for paranormal activity?
Honestly, I think it is, especially because we are so close to another big city, which is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Some of the most reported haunted locations in the country are located in Philadelphia. So what's nice is that there's so many wonderful places to investigate that have reported these reported hauntings, where many other paranormal investigation teams that have been shown on television, we live very close to those locations. So I feel that it is. I feel it's a great spot. It's just a great spot with many wonderful places to investigate. It's very rich in history. So absolutely, yes.
What's nice too, I mean, because Delaware, known as the first state, it's a small state. So, you know, we're actually surrounded, you know, we have Maryland close to us, we have New Jersey, and we have Pennsylvania. So, you know, given that, you know, we could travel not too far, and then we'll all of a sudden we'll be in another state line, one of those states. But we have conducted, you know, investigations all over the place, pretty much from Pennsylvania to Delaware. I think we did one in Maryland too, I believe, right, Melissa? Was that correct?
We did. We investigated the Poplar Hill Mansion, which is located in Maryland. So yes, we are. We're in a great place. Like you said, there's so many surrounding states, with, like you said, so much history. So it really is a wonderful place to live and to have these opportunities to explore all these different places. So absolutely, yes.
Either one of you can jump in on this, but just kind of give us a sense of Phantom Detective's mission statement or your philosophy.
Well, I would say, so, you know, the three of us, you know, our director isn't here today, but, you know, because of some things he had going on. But the three of us as a team, you know, we pretty much share a lot of the same beliefs about doing paranormal investigations and how we feel. But we always go into an investigation looking to gather the facts and present the evidence, rather than if someone just tells us that maybe they're experiencing some paranormal activity. We always, before we even start a case, we'll actually interview the witness and find out, you know, what kind of things that they picked up on, and also to establish any kind of credibility, you know, like, does this person sound believable? Does it seem like this would be a good case to follow up on? And in some cases, they'll actually have some video or photographic evidence to present to us, you know, to work off of. And then if we decide we're going to move on with the case from there, our case manager, Melissa, who's also our psychic medium here, she will, you know, contact the client and we'll set up a time. We can come out and look at everything, do an investigation. If it's a business or a residence, you know, whatever it may be. And we always go in to any investigation with not already just coming in like, yeah, there's definitely paranormal activity there. We go in there almost like minds of scientists. You know, we don't just throw the wind at everything. We want to see what kind of evidence we could actually pick up, something that could be documented as being credible evidence, from thermal image imagery to an EVP session. Maybe we picked up a word or two or a sentence The other thing could be paranormal devices that are being set off. So we always try to make sure if we could debunk anything, you know, we can. Like, you know, we'll have devices that if you put your hand over it, walk next to it, it could set off that device. So we always make sure that we're far away from that device, so we know if the thing goes off that it wasn't one of us that set it off, that it was some type of, you know, some type of spirit or something that just happened to, you know, activate it. But we're always striving for accuracy.
You mentioned the Poplar Hills mansion in Salisbury, Maryland, that investigation. Just tell us, give us the kind of an overview of what this Poplar Hill mansion, you know, is, its history, I guess, and then what the reports in terms of paranormal activity are.
From what I understand, it was the town doctor lived in that home, he and his family, and we found out that he actually performed surgeries in that home. So when I go into these investigations, I do not go in there with any information at all. My goal is to go in there blindly, knowing absolutely nothing about it. And what I do is I see what I can tune into and pick up on. And our equipment will, what we hope to do is have our equipment verify what I'm tuning into. Now, our other team member, Joshua Chairs, he's basically the team historian. He always knows the backstory to these locations. So I know it's been a little bit of time since we've located the mansion, but that's the one thing that I remember. The town doctor lived there. He performed surgeries. And unfortunately, one of their servants who was minding the family's children, her dress caught on fire in the nursery of the home. And what's interesting is you can still see the burn marks on the floor of the nursery. So, you know, unfortunately, there was tragedy. And going back to the times when the doctor was performing these surgeries, which I believe was somewhere around mid-1800s, if I'm correct. So you figured not many people survived. So there were a lot of deaths from what I understand. And as I said, you know, going in there and seeing what I pick up on, and what's interesting is some of our equipment verified some things. For instance, I have something called a Spirit Talker app on my phone, and the word surgery came up, which was interesting, because again, you know, I knew nothing about the location. I did not know the backstory. So, but that's what basically happened in that home. Like I said, the town doctor, his family resided there. And I believe the home was named after, I think, is there a popular tree? It was named after a special tree. And that's how the, you know, the name of the home, that's how that, you know, right, where that from what I understand. So it was an interesting investigation. And what I love is learning the history of these locations. It's fascinating. It really and truly is. That's probably one of my favorite things about being a paranormal investigator is really learning the backstory and how the puzzle pieces all come together, how we all work together, and we put that story together. And like I said, finding out the actual history later on. So I feel that that's what makes paranormal investigating so interesting and why I, you know, absolutely love what we as a team bring to the table and the evidence that we can provide for you know, the curators, you know, those who run it. So it's yes, it's fascinating. It really and truly is.
Rick, did you want to add anything in terms of the Poplar Hill Mansion investigation? What did you see? What did you witness?
Well, you know, I tell you what, you know, there's quite a bit of few things that, you know, that we picked up there. That particular investigation we were doing, I think we had that was the live show we had going there, right, Melissa, with that those people that we did the live show last year, was that correct?
Yeah, it was supposed to be part of the world's largest ghost hunt.
Yeah, that's right, the world's largest ghost hunt. And anyway, what was happening was we started out, you know, that they were originally, they had some software that was working great. And this year we ended up having some problems. So there were some technical issues and we started to record it and it wasn't going through. So I actually, you know, recorded everything that happened anyway, because, you know, I direct and record, I film all our investigations. And, you know, we use that for like streaming TV and, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, we were actually getting some pretty good activity. One of the devices we use that always has proven very effective is the electric dowsing rods, which I'm kind of like the to-go person, and it'll pretty much work with most people. But since I've been using them a lot, I'm kind of like really in tune with these devices. And think of just like regular dowsing rods that are used to find water. These ones are actually regular dowsing rods, but there's some plastic, thin plastic tubing on each dowsing rod. And then there's an LED light that goes through each one, which is really cool because when it's dark, because most of our investigating we do in the night, you know, when everything's nice. So we shut off all the lights, that kind of thing. And we run colored LED lights from my recording camera rig that I have put together. And we were getting a lot of activity with those dowsing rods, crossing over for yes answers or, you know, would cross back for no and that kind of thing. So that was really, really pretty cool. But yeah, and it was a pretty nice place to investigate. You know, we got some pretty good activity that we were picking up there.
What's the paralantern?
The paralantern is, it's like a REM pod device, and it's kind of like, I'd say maybe 8 inches in height, something like that. And it's like just a round little light, but it has these little, it'll light up in colors. So if there's paranormal activity, there's a spirit that's setting it off, it'll actually go lower or higher. It's like just a scale of colored lights floating up that'll just, you know, you'll see different colors rise up. And the more activity you're getting, the higher it rises up. So that's kind of how that works. But yeah.
And any ultimate conclusions from the Poplar Hills Mansion investigation? Did you feel like you were able to communicate with, I don't know, the spirit of the woman that died in that tragic fire, or any of the patients, or perhaps the doctor himself?
The spirit who I connected with the most was the victim of the fire. And what I can do is something called psychometry, where I can touch objects, or in this case, what I did was I put my hands on the floor on the burn mark, and just to see what kind of story that I could pick up. Now, again, I did not have any prior knowledge of this, but when I had my hand on that burn mark, and I did not even know it was a burn mark, I just saw it, what looked like a mark on the floor, looked like it could have been from, you know, it looked like a burn, but again, I did not know the backstory. Putting my hand on that mark, I was picking up on, I kept hearing the word dress, and I just sensed this horrific tragedy. So it's the feelings I got, it's some of the images I got, but certain words especially, which again helped to put the story together. So obviously what happened to this servant is, and again, she was the nanny. She was the nanny for the family's children. Unfortunately, her dress caught on fire. There was a fireplace in that room. Obviously, you know, there still is, but certain words, it's always certain words, certain phrases. There's always a key word, always a key something that gives me that aha moment. So that is probably who I connected with the strongest. And I think a lot of times it has to do with who has the strongest emotions. And obviously this victim, this poor victim, you know, did because of what happened, the tragedy. So I feel that I picked up on her the strongest. And I also sensed, I felt this child crying That was also very significant too. And I felt like I connected that child to the tragedy. Obviously the child was scared, maybe calling out mama, but that is a lot of what I picked up in that particular room. Again, the energy was so strong and the victim really wanted to tell her story. So for me, that was the most significant spirit that I connected with that evening.
One of the devices that we use too that I want to talk about is, so we do what's called, there's kind of a generic term of what's called a spirit box session. And what that is, it's when there's a couple ways to do it. One, it's kind of like a, think of like an AM, FM radio. And the difference is, like, you know, when you turn the radio on, you have to turn the dial, or if it's digital, it'll just kind of run through the different channels until you stop it. What this thing does, it's think of a digital AM, FM radio, but it'll actually run at different speeds. So you can select what speed, like you want it to run slower and faster. And one way to do it is just to walk around the room and just start asking questions to spirits, like, you know, how many spirits are in this room, or is there any spirits here present in this home today, you know, that sort of thing. And what it does is you're trying to get the spirit to connect into the device and be able, you know, say some kind of word, like, you know, a word or a sentence or something like that. And that's one way of doing it, where you're just walking around, you know, just one person asking questions. The other way we do it, which is a more advanced way, and we have a method that we've developed that's better than what anyone else has out there. There's this one method called the Estes method, and we have, it's almost like that, but we have a more advanced method called the Chairs Warner method, named after Joshua Chairs and myself. And what that is that we use our psychic medium, Melissa here, and we have her, you know, get herself comfortable sitting in a chair. And then what we do is we connect the headphones, some headphones to her, and a blindfold. So she can't see us, see our lips, you know, try to figure out what we're saying. And we have the headphones connected into the spirit box with FM or AM music playing that's turned up loud enough that while it's connected to the speakers, all she can hear is music or something, someone talking on the radio or something like that. And she cannot hear any questions that we're asking, and she can't see what we're doing. And then what we do is we take turns asking questions, but we're really asking not questions to Melissa, we're asking questions to any spirits that could be in the room, and to see what kind of answers we're getting. And the amazing thing, because we're using a psychic medium like Melissa, she's able to tune in with using her psychic medium ability and also some crystals. And many cases, she'll actually answer the very question that we just asked. Like, you know, like, why are you here? Or what are you doing here? You know, that kind of thing. And she would just answer the question. Sometimes it might not right away. It could be, you know, maybe 30 seconds or a minute before there's any kind of a response. And other times, you know, there might not be responses, but it's actually worked very well for us doing this method. And then we also have other electronic devices as a digital recorder that's going on at the same time. And we also have an EMF meter, which measures electromagnetic fields. And we're looking for high EMF readings. So we have a whole bunch of devices into this method. And, you know, I will say that, you know, using Melissa in this has proven to be very effective for us as far as communicating with the spirit world. We've gotten some great activity.
I'll pick up on that point when we come back. Rick Warner is the lead investigator, tech manager at Phantom Detectives, and Melissa Ferrazzano is the psychic medium of Phantom Detectives. Back with more of our conversation right after this.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Rick, that system you were talking about, is it called, was it the Warner Chairs?
chairs. I might have said Warner chairs. It's the chair. Well, we kind of moved it around. So it's the chairs Warner method.
It's Warner method.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, from Joshua Chairs and myself, Rick Warner, we kind of coined that name because we came up with the method that is pretty much better than what anybody else is doing out there as far as doing a spirit box session.
Right.
So it's very, very advanced. And there's more things that we're always bringing into doing that to make it even better as far as communication goes.
So Melissa, you can't hear their questions and yet you're answering their questions, or at least what, the spirit is answering their questions using you as the medium? Is that how that works?
Yes, that's correct. I cannot hear them because again, our goal with just everything with our investigation, no matter what we're doing, our goal is to keep it authentic. So that's the thing. I am not to hear anything. I'm not to see their lips moving. It's like total deprivation. So yes, I don't hear their questions at all. Once in a while, I will get a response through the spirit box. That's the only thing that I can hear. And also, if the spirits really have something that they are trying to communicate through me personally, that's when I will say what I'm feeling. So, for this to be accurate and authentic, chances are I am not going to answer every question, because if I did, then that in itself could be questionable. Can I hear them? And especially if I am answering every question perfectly, your answers might be a little off than what they are asking. And again, maybe it's how the spirit is interpreting that question and how they choose to answer. So, but when I do give them a response, it's pretty fascinating. And a lot of times my response does somehow match their question. So it's a long process and it may take some time to actually give an answer. But when I do, it comes through very strongly, especially when I'm receiving that answer through spirit and it is not coming through the box, if it's only strictly coming from me. And what I do is I hold crystals in my hand to help amplify, to help that energy, to make it stronger so that I can receive answers, you know, just clearer. And it's just much more powerful because crystals have a certain frequency. So anything that can help that, you know, to help me get those answers, whatever we can do is what we strive to do. And we're always looking to improve, whether it's that system or whatever we may be doing, we're always getting some kind of new idea, to help us improve and, make it as best as it can possibly be. But yes, that's how it works. Me not hearing anything, it's whatever I'm receiving psychically and again through that spirit box.
The other thing too, I just wanted to say is that, so when we're asking questions, right? Okay. Even though Melissa cannot hear the questions we're asking. So just keep in mind that if she's not giving an answer, sometimes that's because the spirit's not, doesn't choose to want to answer the question and it's not communicating with her. That's one thing. Now, the other thing is too, is that we also ask her to pick up, you know, let us know, what are you feeling in your surroundings? What, how are you feeling? Do you feel, you know, if you're whatever you're picking up in the room, like if you feel that there's someone standing next to you, you're feeling a presence or you feel they're touching you, whatever it may be, you know, let us know. So that's kind of, so it's kind of like grabbing, you know, all feelings that's coming through, not just answers that she's trying to provide based on what she hears, but also what she's picking up or around her surroundings at the same time.
Right. When the voices are coming through you, do you feel, Melissa, like any type of spiritual attachment? Like there is something that has attached itself to you, someone that has attached themselves to you, or are you just, I mean, how does this work for you when you're communicating what the spirit is telling you?
So what I explain to people is that how I receive information, we have internal senses as well as our external senses. So We all have heard the term clairvoyance, and sometimes people think that is just a catch-all to describe somebody with psychic abilities. But clairvoyance is just one of your clairs, one of your clair senses, and that is your ability to internally see. So when I hear phrases, certain words, I'm using something called clairaudience, and clairaudience is your ability to internally hear. So I'm using these internal senses. Again, something called clairsentience, that's your ability to feel. So it's all of your senses coming together to receive that information. And sometimes what spirits will do is they will connect with me so strongly that sometimes I will actually feel a physical sensation. Maybe if they were having a hard time maybe they had a heart issue while they were living, or if there was some kind of tragedy, I may feel them catching their breath. There have been times I've been becoming short of breath during this session where we've had to stop it because I will start feeling the spirits, physical sensations, and sometimes it is too much. So what's nice is that Joshua and Rick, they really pay attention to these things. And if they see that it seems like I'm getting overwhelmed, the spirit is attaching itself to me very strongly, and then they will say, okay, we're going to stop this right now. So that's what happens in that particular circumstance. So yes, it's using those internal senses and just giving everything that I'm feeling. And it's always interesting later on when I find out that somehow I answered their question. It's pretty mind-blowing because, again, I can't hear what's being asked. So in the end, again, it's fascinating to know that I actually gave some kind of accurate answer during that session.
Another thing too. Oh, go ahead, Richard.
No, you go. You go.
Okay. So the thing I want to say is that, so as far as physical effects, I mean, things that we're picking up, you could just walk into a house or walk into a restaurant or business, wherever you're investigating. And all of a sudden you could walk in and you could feel like something's already draining you. You know, like you hear of sometimes devices getting drained, like brand new batteries that you just put in the night before that you took out of the package and put them in. All of a sudden these things are like dying down like very quickly when they shouldn't be. So, you know, you run into things like that, but then you also, or malfunctions with your equipment, something that normally works fine, all of a sudden it's not working. But when you leave the room and you're outside, all of a sudden the thing's working again. So that's the kind of thing that we experience. And also doing paranormal investigating, we really don't know sometimes what we're getting ourselves into. Sometimes we could go into a venue and there could be, you know, one spirit there. There could be several spirits there, 5, 6, 7, 8, what have you. And some of them, just like people when they're alive, that they're very polite and friendly and they want you to be there, you be around them. They're very welcoming. And then there's some that just don't want you to be there. If they're angry, you know, maybe when they were alive, they were very bitter. They didn't like people to begin with. And now that they've passed on, they're still that kind of, you know, evil, nasty person. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that we run into. And this, you know, the physical effects as well of having the energy drained from you, like kind of like Melissa was mentioning, sometimes we'll go into an investigation and there's so much spirit activity, even with, like, if I use the term spirits that are non-malevolent, that don't mean you any kind of harm, that they're basically wanting you there and they're fairly friendly, don't want to bother anybody. Even that could be draining because there's so many of them, so much activity. Sometimes it could just make you feel really tired and you feel like it's kind of sucking all your energy out. And then there's other times when there's a lot of negative energy within a dwelling. And, you know, sometimes you could feel almost kind of a sick feeling, or like Ms. Melissa mentioned, you know, you could feel like sometimes maybe it's a little bit hard to breathe, or you feel your body's feeling hot, you know, you're feeling headaches or pressure on your chest. And I've had that happen to me a few times where I just thought, man, I just have to get outside and get some fresh air and just be out of the place for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, take a break. Because, you know, sometimes it's just too much to handle, you know.
How do you, I don't know, is this a myth that if you're not careful, some of these entities can hitch a ride and come back home with you? Does that happen? And if so, how do you protect?
It has happened.
How do you protect yourself? How do you prevent that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that it certainly can happen. And maybe in certain locations where the energy is not positive. I do feel that in a lot of places, the spirits are happy just staying in their own home. It's been their home for many, many years, maybe over 100 years. And, you know, I feel that many just choose to stay in their location. However, again, something more strong may decide that, yes, we would like to come home with you. So there are certain ways to protect yourself. And I know we always hear what's used very commonly is sage. And I do feel that sage is powerful. It is helpful. And a lot of it too is about your intention. You know, it to sage yourself before an investigation and believe and know that you are cleansed and protected going in there. Nothing's going to harm you. And then also doing that afterwards, saging, letting the sage smoke, you know, surrounding yourself with that. And stating the intentions that nothing is going to come home with me, nothing's going to attach itself to our equipment, to really state that and be firm about that, I feel is certainly one of the ways that you can protect yourself. And I'm sure there are many other ways out there as well, but that seems to be the most common measure used, you know, for psychics and mediums and paranormal investigators. It's a very common technique. So yes, it's about your intentions, being firm, you know, no attachments. This is where it ends. Thank you for letting us come into your home and investigate, but we are now parting ways. And, it's about, you know, just holding your ground and being firm about that sort of thing.
All right. We'll take another time out, come back, and I'll ask you about that as well, Rick. And we'll also get into another investigation, the Lightship Overfalls. Back with more in a moment.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
And we are back with Rick Warner, lead investigator, and Melissa Ferrazzano, psychic medium of Phantom Detectives. PhantomDetectives.org is the website, PhantomDetectives.org. Rick, I was asking Melissa about entities that attach themselves to you and you take them home. Has that happened to you?
You know, it's funny you asked that because, so one of the places we conducted an investigation at was called Bub's Brewery in Pennsylvania. And we went into this place called the Catacombs. It's really pretty cool. Think of like, it almost looks like you're going into an underground tunnel once you go downstairs. And it's kind of like this big half round, these walls made out of these ancient looking stones. And there's like little shelves built into the wall that they put there, and they put candles and stuff like that. So it almost has kind of a creepy, eerie kind of look. And when we went there, you know, we did a dowsing rod session, and we also, you know, had our digital recorders out, and we were doing an EVP session and that kind of thing, and a spirit box session. And I remember my brand new digital recorder, okay, had fresh batteries and everything. It was working fine. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I had two things happen. I had one thing with my digital recorder to where it just froze up and I couldn't get it to record. I couldn't turn it off and turn it back on again. It just froze. And I thought, what's going on here? And I actually ended up, and I even was saying, because sometimes spirits will, not always maliciously, but sometimes they will pick a person out to kind of like start messing with you directly or your equipment. And that was happening with me that night. And it seemed like all my pieces of equipment they were messing with, and weird things were happening. And I ended up actually having to pull the batteries out, put them back into the unit, just to be able to get it off and get it working again. And then I had my AM/FM radio sweep, the spirit box that I was telling you about earlier. And all of a sudden that thing wasn't working either. It's like, I couldn't hear the radio waves. I mean, it was, speaker was up all the way. I mean, the volume. And normally, you know, with the headphones on, you know, you can hear, you can listen to it, you can hear something. And there was no, you couldn't hear any sound all of a sudden. I thought, okay, what's going on here? And then I even was saying out loud, okay, whoever is messing with my equipment, I don't think this is funny. And one piece of equipment that wasn't working at all, it wasn't until I completely left the room and I went upstairs, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, it started working again. So I knew something, spirits can affect your devices, and they can attach themselves to devices like you hear about, you know, attaching themselves to dolls, or it could be objects in antique stores and things like that. And that's why a lot of times when people are buying things like antiques and things that are really old, that have a lot of history, you really don't know if something has attached itself to that that thing that you brought home that you thought was like really cute, if it's like a table lamp or a piece of furniture. And anyway, so I remember when I had the same piece of equipment, and I remember bringing it home, okay, and I was still having a problem with it. And so I felt like there was something that attached itself to that, and it was still on to the equipment. And the strangest thing, because, you know, I'm in my sunroom, and then I said, okay, whoever's attached himself to my equipment, I was just picking this up, feeling something. I said, get off my equipment, just leave it alone. And all of a sudden, then the thing just went back on and it was just working again. And I thought, wow, that's just really crazy. So that was really kind of my experience as far as that goes. But I have heard of other people, you know, people that have had experience, paranormal experiences in a home, and they want to move the home because maybe there's so many things happening, like there's plates that are flying off the shelf, or lights turning on and off, glasses falling on the floor and breaking. And, you know, when people have children and stuff like that, sometimes it really freaks out the kids. And sometimes people just think, you know, there's something really evil here, and they just want to get out of their home. Many times people will just sell their house and leave and then go move somewhere else. And there's been cases where they'll go to a different location, and all of a sudden the spirits will attach themselves to these people. And now they're at another place, and it's like they're still there. It's like they followed them. It's crazy.
I want to talk about another investigation. This was fairly recent, I think, just last month, about a month ago. It's called the Lightship Overfalls. First of all, for my listeners that are not familiar, we may know about lighthouses, but what is a lightship?
So a lightship is, think of a lighthouse that is on land, and then you have, you know, the lighthouse shining the light across the water and things like that, you know, used to help people, I guess, find their way and that kind of thing. So so instead of being on land, think of a lighthouse on top of a ship, but the light is actually on top of the mast of the ship, like right in the middle. And then that light can, you know, rotate and move around. And it was the one that we were on was the one remaining lighthouse ship that was left, is what I was told. And that was used, you know, would help the Coast Guards and that kind of thing, you know, find their way and stuff like that. So.
And where is the lightship, this lightship Overfalls located? What body of water?
It's actually kind of like where it's docked. It's really, I would say it's kind of like a bay of water. Wouldn't you call that, Melissa?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. So it's not a huge body of water, like an ocean or anything like that. But, and you might know more, Melissa, about, you know, your mom living out there and that kind of thing, more about that. Is that some part of a river or something? I think it is. And they have like a little bay where they dock the ship. Is that right?
Yes, I believe it's part of the Delaware, if I'm not mistaken.
Delaware River, yeah.
But it was a very interesting investigation, and it had a very peaceful vibe. It was definitely one of my favorites, and one of the ones that really surprised me, because I feel that we got a great amount of evidence on that ship, more than I ever would have thought we would. So that was definitely one of my favorite investigations for sure. And the fact that we captured that Class A EVP, that in itself, it really was mind-blowing, the amount of evidence that we left with that evening. Yes.
So just set this up for us in terms of what is happening on the lightship. People are seeing figures wandering around in the ship, where in the crew's quarters, the captain's cabin, and other places, the utility area. What are people seeing and hearing?
Well, one of the things that we noticed when we were there, so we didn't actually see like any shadows or anything, you know, where other people may have seen, you know, those type of apparitions. But with us, it was like, you know, we had paranormal devices that were being triggered all over the place. And in this one particular room we were at, which is, you know, what we refer to as the utility room, there were like, you could tell there's a couple like some grinding kind of wheels to, you know, I guess polish or grind things. Probably, you know, when they had to fix parts on the ship, they would go in this room and do things. But nothing was, there was no power. Nothing was turned on, because keep in mind that the ship is non-operational, and it's for people to come in and tour and have a, you know, look inside and visit the inside of the ship and on the outside. So we were, you know, we had our electronic EMF meters that were spiking really high readings. You know, we were actually getting over like 200 milligauss, which is like the highest you can get on our scale. So we have this, you know, these devices that'll measure these electromagnetic readings. And it was just spiking all over the place. Another thing we had was a REM pod device, and it's like a, you know, it's an Annabelle doll. They make it, they turned it into a paranormal device. So people that have seen the Annabelle movie with the Annabelle doll, that's what this thing looks like, or actually what it is, but it's a much smaller version. And it sits in a little plastic case. It looks like a replica of a glass case. And it has an antenna on top and a little power switch. And we turn this thing on. And what happens is, if we were to touch it or move our hand close to it, the thing's going to go off, right? Now, we're standing back far enough away that we weren't setting this device off. And all of a sudden, the spirit activity, this device was going crazy. I mean, you can hear it making all these beeping noises, and there was a red light inside that was turning on and just lighting up the doll. I mean, it was nuts. And that was the same room where Melissa was using her Spirit Talker app. And we had picked up, she had got the name of, Jennifer that had been picked up, that we felt that was one of the spirits that was in the room. The other thing we were getting was when we were doing our EVP session, okay, which stands for electro voice phenomenon, and we have our digital recorders on, and then we take turns asking questions. And so what we do is we'll play back. We're hoping that a spirit will answer a question and communicate with us on that digital device. But what we make sure is that we'll always announce, we'll say talking, and then someone will ask a question. And then when we're done, we'll say like end or stop or something like that. So that way, when we go to do playback and we have our headphones on, if we hear like a voice or a sentence, a couple words, then we know that, you know, we know how to tell that it wasn't us. And we had one instance, we were in one room, and we picked up where it was it was, you know, the girl had said on there, it was, hello, help me, I believe. Isn't that what you said, Melissa? I think it was. Yeah. Hello, help me.
That's right. That
was real clear, too.
Could I play that from your website? Would you?
Yes, please do. Yes.
All right. Let's have a listen. This is, again, on the Lightship Over Falls, and this was captured in the crew quarters. Joshua Chairs, Rick Warner, and Melissa Ferrazano capture this EVP that says, hello, help me. Let's have a listen. This is very faint, but you could hear something definitely. Let's hear it again. Definitely heard the help me, yes.
Yeah, and the hello. And, you know, you hear it more, but somehow, like, on your end, you know, you can hear a little more feedback.
Yes.
Where when we play it, it's, for some reason, it's a little more clear. So the help me, the hello is, you know, the help me part is, you know, you can hear both, but, you know, you hear the hello a little bit louder, and then the help me part is a little bit on the lower side because you can hear that little fuzzy background noise that's there. But yeah, you can definitely hear it for sure.
All right. Well, so what's next for Phantom Detective Investigations? Where are you going next?
Well, what we found is that lately a lot of homeowners have reached out to us reporting paranormal activity. So we are going to begin 2023. January, interestingly, on Friday the 13th, we will be doing a residential case in our area. And also, there's many things in the works. We're talking about filming a documentary. And I know Rick can even explain a little bit more about what that is going to entail. We're doing something in Lower Delaware called collections training as well, collections training. And what that is going to do is that's going to give us access to many other historic locations in Lower Delaware. Like, there's something called the Cannibal House and many other things. Doing this training will allow us to have access to those locations. So it's going to be interesting. I feel it's going to be a combination of many residential cases, as I said, this documentary, historic locations. So I feel 2023 is going to be a very interesting year for us, for sure. Yes.
Rick, did you want to mention anything more about the documentary?
Yeah, so right now we're just going through pre-production and, you know, talking about, you know, the format and everything and how we're going to prepare to get ready for production. It's all going to be done through Black Raven Films, which is, you know, we're all like co-producers. And we're all kind of working and doing different things, you know, making this documentary. And it's going to be about investigating the paranormal and, you know, people's different thoughts that are going to be interviewed in this documentary, like, you know, what their belief system is about it and, you know, other people that have experienced the paranormal and been involved in investigations that could talk about, you know, what their feelings are and that kind of thing. So we're going to give people an inside look as to what goes on during a paranormal investigation. And we also have video footage from some of our actual cases with very credible evidence that when people are watching this documentary, they'll be able to see actual paranormal activity taking place right before their eyes.
All right. For more information, again, the website phantomdetectives.org, phantomdetectives.org. Rick Warner, Melissa Ferrazano, thank you so much. Great meeting you.
Great meeting you. Thanks for having us on board.
Yes, great meeting you. And thank you so much. It really was a wonderful show. And yes, we enjoyed it.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday